The scripture this morning is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, and these are the concluding remarks of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which we've been studying for a number of months now, and so this is the final section of Jesus' teaching. The wise and the foolish builders, starting at verse 24. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Now let me give you a little inside secret here. Jesus is doing what any preacher has always dreamed of doing. If you think there's, you know, how many preachers there are, we talked about all the different churches in our area and around the world. There's hundreds, probably thousands, tens of thousands of sermons being preached this Sunday morning in different places of the world. And most preachers, they all have a desire to preach a sermon that really impacts people's lives, that maybe change people's lives. And that's, you know, that's what turns preachers cranks. They're thinking, yeah, we can have an impact. We want to have an impact. And that's, I'd say by and large, that's a good desire. You want preachers to have that. That can also be turned into a negative, is that you have preachers that end up wanting, you know, all their affirmation coming from a good sermon, and that they need people to affirm them, and they need all this feedback and all these other things. So it can turn on preachers as well. But we see what Jesus here, he's doing. He's basically saying, hey, I've just preached a whole sermon. Here's my conclusion. If you listen to me and do what I just told you to, you're wise. But if you don't listen to me, you're a fool. Now, I won't have that much audacity to say that because I'm not God. I'm not the Son of God. And so I hope to have impact on everyone's lives by preaching Jesus' word. But Jesus came out pretty strong here and says, hey, what you heard me say here is the truth. And now you have a choice. You listen to me. You can either apply what I've taught you. You can live out what I've taught you. You can build your life on this foundation, which is what I've just taught you. Or you can just leave and go on normal like you've, you know, no change whatsoever. And Jesus says, if you build your life upon this foundation, it will withstand whatever is coming. But if you don't, you'll be like a fool and your life will keep going careening around as it is tossed and turned by the waves and by the wind and by the water. As we've been looking here, you know, we've been spending a number of months in the Sermon on the Mount and a number of weeks as Jesus has been drawing it to a close, and he's kind of been checking things off the list as he's getting closer and closer to the end of his sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. He started with those people that said the right things. Remember last week we looked at people who said, Lord, Lord. And so Jesus said, hey, there's people out there that confess my name. There's people out there that say, Lord, Lord, that say all the right things. And he says, that's not good enough. Then he went a little bit further and he said, there's people out there that are even doing good things, that are even performing miracles in my name. And he says, that's not good enough. And this morning, he's the message we're looking at, he says, there's people that are hearing everything I say. They hear the word, they hear the sermon, and they don't apply it. So no matter if you say it, if you do it, if you hear it, those three things aren't good enough. He's saying it's got to get down to the core. It's got to be a foundation type issue. And so Jesus closes with this little mini parable about the wise builders and the foolish builders. And it's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. And so we'll dive in and see what we can learn from that this morning. Let's pray. God, we lift this time up to you. Lord, I ask that the words I speak here would be led through your Spirit. I pray that we would all be receptive in our hearts and our minds and our whole being to what you have for each of us for all of us gathered together as a one body, what you would have us do. And so, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be active here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's three simple questions I want to try to answer this morning. The first is, what is a foundation? What is the foundation that Jesus is talking about here? Second is, how do you know that you have a good foundation? And the last one is how to have and how to maintain that foundation. So what is the foundation to begin with? And I think this is pretty simple. I mean, one of the greatest things about Jesus is his teachings are simple, but yet they get to a point that is profound. And so it is pretty simple when we look at this. So, okay, what is a foundation? Well, we probably all know that. That's what you build a house on, and that's what you build a building on. That is the foundation, is the bottom level, the core of a house. You start with the foundation and you work your way up. So that's what you build on. The foundation is also what anchors your house to the earth. Now, depending on different parts of the world, foundations look different. Here, foundations usually start with a cement footer, and then most houses in this area have a basement, and so that's block, and so that is what anchors the house to the earth, to the ground. And so, depending on where you're at for in this area, they try to get down so you get some solid clay, and it's not just topsoil, and you build your foundation on that. Different parts of the world, you need to put on down different pilings so you get to bedrock, or different, you know, there's all these different things, but it's what anchors the house to the earth, because if you build a house, you want it to stay where you've built it, right? You don't want it to be shifting around. You don't want it to be moving. You don't want it to be washed away or blown away or whatever particular natural disaster can happen in your area, in our area. We want it to be able to withstand soft ground. This year hasn't been a problem, but some summers it's so wet, you need your foundation to be able to be waterproof and things like that. So it's what anchors your house to the earth. It is also the most important aspect of your house. It just makes sense that, you know, if everything else is great, but you're building on a foundation that is faulty, if the cement blocks were not made well, if the mortar was not mixed well, if there's too much sand and not enough concrete or all these different things, if the foundation is not good, it doesn't matter what you put on top of it, you're going to have problems. It is the most important aspect of the house. And that's what Jesus is pointing out here, is that if there's issues with the foundation, there's going to be issues all the way up through the whole house, no matter what it is. Also, similar to what Jesus has been teaching on the last couple of weeks, is by and large, foundations are invisible. You don't see foundations. You drive down the street, you know, you can't tell just by looking at a house if it has a good foundation or if it doesn't. Usually the most you can see is the top one or two courses of block, and usually below that it's covered, and most people have landscaping around that, and you don't even see those blocks, so you can't see what a good foundation is. And that's a couple of weeks ago Jesus talked about good fruit. Just like you can't tell what fruit is in this can, you can't really walk and drive down the street and see what house has a good foundation. Now, there are certain things that you can tell if a house has a bad foundation, you know, if it's off, you know, one end is leaning down or caving in or whatever, you can say, well, there's probably an issue there. But you can't just look at a house and say, oh, that's got a good foundation. And one little final aspect about foundations is, at least in my experience, it's the hardest and messiest job to work on. Now, that's my particular experience here in Northeast Ohio. I worked a couple summers on a mason crew. And that's not really fun work, and it's not easy work. And the materials for foundations are generally the heaviest materials that you're going to deal with. Carrying cement around, block around, all that type of stuff, it's not easy. And whether, you know, go back 100 years, you guys look at the basements of some of the older houses, they're huge sandstone blocks and things like that. Foundations are heavy. And it takes a lot of work to get a good foundation. It takes a lot of elbow grease and back-breaking labor, and sometimes you're down in the mud because you need to get down to the solid foundation. So building good foundations takes quite a bit of work. So those are just some kind of outside observations looking at foundations, and I think you guys are all intelligent enough to be able to kind of make some tie-ins to the scripture of what we're looking at, of all those different aspects of what a foundation is. This is a pretty clear parallels with the spiritual side of what Jesus is getting at. So how do you know then if you have a good foundation? Like we said, you can't just drive by and look at a house and see it's got a great foundation. How do we tell? Well, there are two ways, and there's one way that Jesus gives here in his conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount. And the best way that you know if you have a good foundation, the best way to figure out if a house has a really good foundation is to wait for a storm to come. That's what Jesus says. And from the outside, it might look good. From the outside, there are people around us, amongst us, anywhere that we see that look like everything's under control. Everything's great. Everything's, you know, good in their lives. They're saying the right things. They're doing the right things. All these different things. We can see that, and we maybe have done that ourselves, where we've said the right things and done the right things, and we know on the inside things aren't quite the way they should be. And that's what Jesus is saying about this. You look around at a house and you can't really tell what the foundation is. You can't look at it and say good or bad foundation, but when the storm comes, that's when you figure it out. And what he describes here is a pretty intense storm. He talks about rain, and rain that is intense enough that the streams rise, and so we're talking about flooding. He's talking about winds that are intense enough to blow a house that doesn't have a good foundation right off the sand. This is a pretty intense storm. And so what Jesus is saying here is, you find out what you're really building on when you face the storms that life has to throw us. And this is kind of unsettling, because we don't want to face storms. Storms are miserable. Storms make life hard. Storms are not what you want to be outside in. Storms are not when you want to find out if your foundation is good or bad. Storms are not pleasant experiences. Yeah, they do bring rain, which is what we really needed. But the type of storm that Jesus is talking about here is not something you want to live through. But it teaches the lesson about who God is and how He relates to us. And I think this is an important correction that we all need to keep in mind, is that God is not in the business of keeping storms out of our lives. God does not say, okay, who are my people? Who are my disciples? Who are the people that are building their lives on me, that are building their foundation on my teachings, that are my followers, that are disciples of Christ? Who are those people? He says, I'm going to protect them from these storms. I'm going to split the clouds. I'm going to keep all this stuff from happening to their families. I'm going to keep all this stuff from happening from their careers. I'm going to keep all this stuff from happening to their health. I'm going to keep all these things. It's not what God does. It's not the way it works. I bet everyone in this room has been through absolutely miserable seasons of life, or maybe you're going through it now, and if you haven't yet, it's just a matter of time. And you may say, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Why are these bad things happening? And we see over and over throughout Scripture that God's people go through storms over and over and over again. And there are very, very few instances of where God actually keeps the storm away from someone. There's actually more instances of God where God sends the storm and says, you got to go through this, and hopefully you come out alive on this of the other side. There's more instances of that. And I think we just need to hear that, because there are a lot of voices out there. There's even a lot of voices in the Christian world that are saying, here's how to avoid storms in your life. Or if you maybe, you know, believe the right things or say the right things, God will not send storms in your life. I mean, that's the danger about very popular televangelists that are on TV. You know, there's a lot of messages out there that are, you know, somewhat biblical that are saying God will not send any of this into your life. But that is not what we see in the Scriptures. Over and over and over again, His people face horrible situations. So I just encourage you, if you're listening to these things on the radio, if you're listening to things on TV, be careful. I want you to be careful when you listen to me too, right? You should always have a critical ear. You shouldn't take anything hook, line, and sinker. But if someone's telling you that because you're a Christian, because you're a follower of Jesus, because you should have these positive thoughts in your mind, that all these bad things are gonna not happen to you, that is not the gospel. That is not what God taught in the Bible. And so you just need to be aware of that. And so if you hear some type of preaching or teaching that's going down that line, just make sure there's some red flags popping up in your mind, because you need to run that through what the Scripture actually says. And like I said, run everything I say to you through the Scripture as well. I'm just one man and I make mistakes as well. But God leads us to storms. He allows us to go through storms, and He does not part the clouds. And we as Christians have to go through the same miserable things in life that everyone else does. Now, on the same hand, the flip side of the coin is God is in the business of sheltering and protecting His people in the midst of that storm. And that's what Jesus is saying here, is that if you have that foundation built up, it doesn't matter what life throws at you, you have a sure foundation. You have a rock that you can cling to. You have something that will anchor you, that you won't just be tossed and blown around. You will feel the weight of the storm. You will feel the waters rising. You will feel the wind blowing against you, and you will feel all that pressure. But if you have your foundation built on Christ, and you have your foundation built on the teachings of Christ, God promises us that we will persevere. He promises us that our foundation will withhold. He promises us, no matter how intense the storm that you're facing in your life, that He is a good enough shelter for you. Not that He will part the storm and say it won't come to you, but that He will provide the shelter that you need in the midst of that. Now, I know a lot of us would say, well, I would just rather God part the clouds and I don't have to deal with it. I've been there before. It's a lot easier that way. But that's just not how God does it. There's a quote that I read, and I heard there was someone that I knew. It wasn't my sister, but someone else that went through cancer, and they actually survived. They did well, and they're doing well right now. But there's a quote that they found that really helped them through when they're going through the different treatments that they went through. And that quote, I remember it, and it's been helpful for me a couple different times. And it says, "You don't know the strength of your anchor until you feel the weight of the storm." Basically saying the same thing that Jesus is saying here in this analogy with houses. You don't know the strength of your anchor until you feel the weight of the storm. And so in a lot of ways, storms can bring out the best in us. Storms can refine us. Storms can purify us. Storms can make us stronger. Storms can make us more reliant on Christ and more adamant about building our foundation on Him. But we don't know the strength of our anchor until we felt the weight of your storm. And so if you're facing that storm right now, if there's stuff happening in your life that you don't know if you can withstand, lean on that anchor. Lean on Christ. Build on that foundation. And you'll realize the strength that you have in Christ. Now, if you remember back, I said there are two ways to find out if you have a good foundation. The first is what Jesus talks about here is the storms. Now, there's a second. Let me push this house analogy a little bit further. So all of you guys that have built a house or did an addition on a house, you know in Wayne County we have some pretty strict policies, and there has to be an inspection for just about everything you would ever hope to do on your house. It can be annoying. But the whole role of inspectors is to try to give you a little bit of a window into what you would face if a storm comes your way. And so I would say another way to find out what your foundation is to go through an inspection. Now that might sound daunting if you especially apply that to the spiritual side. It's like, I don't know, what's inspection? Inspection is kind of what it sounds like. But if you really, really want to know what your foundation is, a lot of times you need an outside perspective. If you're feeling like, I don't know if I'm anchored in Christ. I don't know if I'm building on Christ. And sometimes we can kind of get a negative view of ourselves and look down on ourselves. And sometimes we just need another Christian to come aside us and say, whoa, I'm looking at what you're saying. I'm looking at your life here. And it looks to me like you're building on a good foundation. It looks like things are going well. And that can be a source of great encouragement. Or maybe the flip side is you're just cruising along life fine. You're not thinking about anything. You're not worried about your foundation. You think everything's fine. And maybe you need someone to come into your life and say, there's a little concern here. I just want to point out this kind of crack in your foundation that I, as your brother or sister who loves you, want to point out to you. So an inspection, I think, can kind of get to pointing out some things that we may have some issues with, maybe some areas that we need some encouragement with. Now, just like inspections, let's push this analogy even a little bit further. If an inspector knocks on your door and says, hey, I need to come inspect your foundation because, you know, the Wayne County government says this is what has to happen, you're going to be upset. Like, why? This is my house. You don't have any right to come into my basement and look at my foundation. Who do you think you are, right? We're going to have that reaction. The same way is going to be in our spiritual life. If someone comes up to you and says, hey, I want to find out everything about you just to see if you're doing good or not in your spiritual walk, you're going to say, who are you? And what gives you the right to judge me like that or look into my life? But if you think there might be an issue with your house, you're going to go looking for an expert. You're going to call an expert. And when that expert comes knocking on your door, you're going to say, oh, come on in. Yes, I see this crack forming in my basement. I want to know if there's an issue here. Likewise, in our spiritual walk, if you think you want some help with something, if you go seek out that help, you're going to welcome it. You're going to love to have that mentor. You're going to love to have someone walking with you. But it's got to be you taking that initiative. Rarely will someone force themselves upon you in such a way that you feel good about that type of relationship. So the primary way to find out about your foundation is through the storms. But also inspections can give you a little bit of a heads up of what you're building on. So how do you have a good foundation? How do you build this foundation on Christ? That's basically what we've been covering the last, what has it been, 3 months or so here, is that following the words of Jesus, of building your life on Him, of Jesus being your foundation. Last week what we looked at is all these people who said the right things, who did the right things, who were even performing miracles. And Jesus says, I never knew you. You said that and you did that, but I never knew you. And it starts with knowing Christ, with building your foundation on Him and not on anything else. Because the reality is that everything around us, every foundation that we would choose to build our life upon that is not Christ, is ultimately going to crumble. Everything is ultimately going to crumble. You know, we can look at our health, and a lot of times we want to build our foundation on our health and say, as long as I stay healthy. But we all know that health is fleeting. And if it's not some accident, if it's not some disease, old age will catch up to us. And we know that the foundation of health is not something that we can build our lives on. We all know that finances is a foundation that we want to build on. It's very easy for us to fall into that allure of, as long as I have a good 401k, a good savings account, good retirement account, good pension, you know, you start to feel good about, you know, okay, I've got a decent financial foundation here. But we know that's fleeting as well. We know that that won't last forever. We know that there are things, external things that can happen that can drastically affect us. You guys have all lived through 2007, 2008 when things crashed, and maybe some of you felt that personally. That could always happen. And there's also, I mean, there's other things that, money is not permanent, no matter how wisely you've invested and put yourself. Relationships, likewise, are not always permanent. People come and go out of our lives. People that we love and love very dearly that are very close to us pass away. And relationships come and go. And so even though that's a good foundation to have in our lives, we know ultimately relationships will pass as well. Institutions come and go. You know, like we talked about, we look at the Mennonite Church and we have questions about what's happening there. We can look in a local sale and we say, you know, Crown Hills existed for, you know, 150 or maybe more than that. But, you know, this institution is not always going to exist. That there are schools and government agencies, all these different things. Institutions don't exist and don't exist forever. And even governments, you know, governments rise and fall. If you look throughout the history of the world, you know, there's rarely a dynasty that lasts for more than a couple hundred years. Every now and then you'll see something, if you look through history, something that may last up to 1,000 years. But governments come and they go, and we cannot build our lives on the on those type of structures. And we also know, obviously, that physical structures, no matter how good the foundation is of your house, you know, a couple hundred years from now, it may not be there at all. And maybe the last, just a couple blocks standing there or whatever. And there's even some foundations that will last thousands of years. You know, you can look at some of the ancient, you know, things in Greece and around the world where you can see parts of the Parthenon and things like that. Yeah, there's some stuff left there, but it's deteriorating and it's slowly disappearing. We know that all these things around us are eventually going to disappear, that they're all temporary, and that Jesus is saying, build your life on me. And that's eternal. Everything else, in one shape or form, is temporary. Doesn't mean you should completely stay away from all those things, but just make sure that is not your foundation. That those are not the primary things that you're building on. Now, sticking with the parable that Jesus says here about housing. Did you know that all of you guys, everyone in this room here probably, has saved your house from destruction in the last week or so? Or saved your apartment from destruction, or your condo from destruction? Did you think about that? All of you have probably, especially this week, probably emptied a dehumidifier tank. Probably most of you have cleaned or swept or vacuumed the floor. Probably all of you have taken out the trash. Or when you saw the storms coming, you closed your windows. Maybe you were ambitious and you went outside and you pulled a couple weeds. Maybe you did the unpleasant task of killing some spiders and other bugs that you saw in your house. Maybe there was a leak in the roof or a leak in the sink or the faucet that you repaired. You know, throughout the course of life, that's what you do. If you live in a house, you do all those things. But if you ever think, if you stopped doing those things and you never did that, how quickly your house would be reduced to nothing? You know, abandoned houses so quickly just deteriorate and decay and just fall apart. That a house that's lived in has someone that's constantly doing all these small things. And you may think, when you take the trash out, well, I didn't save my house. But if you think that trash stayed there for 2 years, your kitchen would probably be ruined. You'd have to rehab the whole thing to try to get the stink out. Or if there was one leak and you never addressed that leak and you left for 2 years and you come back, you'd probably have a rotted, molded floor. You know, the house just falls apart so quickly. But we do these little things and we maintain a house. So even though you don't think like, yeah, I took the trash out, saved the house, good job me. You know, maybe we need that motivation. But by doing those things, we maintain our houses. And our houses continue to stand as structures. And that's what the spiritual life is like as well. We may not think that we're heroes, that we're constantly saving ourselves and becoming, you know, doing all these huge spiritual activities. But it's the day-to-day things that we do out of habit that we maintain our spiritual walk is how we maintain that good foundation that we have. Just like you daily or weekly take out the trash and clean the floors or do the dishes, that daily routine of having time you spend with God, of having time you spend in prayer, of having time that you spend studying this Word, of making the point in your schedule to set this time on Sunday mornings apart that you can come in and you can worship with other believers and you can go to Sunday school and you can hear the Word preached. You know, all those different things are acts of maintenance to your spiritual life. That if you would just stop doing all those things, I guarantee you there is some form of leak that would form in your life. And if that leak is never addressed, it will slowly decay inside of you. That we have Jesus who is constantly walking with us, that we need to stay in tune with and in touch with. And as we build our lives on Him and build our foundations on Him and go through life with vigilance, continuing our practices of prayer, scripture reading, attending church, learning, all these different things. In and of themselves, they may seem so small, but it's just the daily practice of maintaining a spiritual walk with our Savior. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the Sermon on the Mount. We thank You for the times that it's been easy to understand, but it's also sometimes hard to apply. And Lord, as we wrap this up, I pray that You would continue to give us the inspiration to daily walk with You, to daily build on Your sure foundation. And Lord, I pray that You'd give us the motivation as well, that if we feel like we need something inspected, or we feel that we're not ready for that storm to come, that You would put people into our lives that can walk with us, that can invest in us, and not judge us for the questions that we have. Lord, I pray that You would also be with anyone and all of us in the room that are facing those storms, that are maybe wishing that You would just take the storms away. But Lord, I pray that You would anchor us in who You are, anchor us in Your Word, so that even though the winds blow and the waters rise, that we have that sure foundation in You that holds us in the midst of that storm. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.